Blog Talk Radio.
Get a lot of energy.
Praise the Lord, and a blessed, blessed new year to our family of Friday Fellowship of Learners. Praise the Lord. I do need you to let me know if the sound quality is good. so that we can proceed. Either text me or just talk to me. We are interactive, and this is Word from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and this program and this session comes to us via the vision of the visionary of Labors for Christ Word Life Center, where the Apostle Dr. Shanette Houghton is our pastor and leader. And we have been given for the year 2019, and this is for the House of Labors for Christ, a prophetic a blessing and a prophetic declaration from our ambassadorial prophet, Prophet Michael Henderson. And we want to, at all times and at any time, when we get together, to remind ourselves of what God has spoken over our life and the promises and the commands that he has given us. From 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Three things he tells us to do. Hallelujah. And so the declaration starts with the fact that this has been declared the year of prophetic transition. That's the year of momentum, manifestation, maturation, and miracles. We have been taught this. We have been experiencing this through all of the services brought forth in our lives last year, the training, the studying, to show in preparation for the last part of that, which is miracles. The word of the Lord declares, then he brought his people out of slavery, weighed down with silver and gold, and all his tribes, not one of them stumbled, not one was left behind. Hallelujah. From the voice version of Psalms 105 and 37. Not one of them was left behind. But more than that, he brought us out of slavery. Those are the things that we have maturated from, as we've read and we've studied in the various books of the authors that have shared the process with us last year. And it's like we're weighted down now with silver and gold. We've been given some treasures in our study of Abide in Christ and Total Surrender and the Green Letter, and then our last offering, In the Grip of Grace, gold and silver. We have been weighted down with these truths. Now they're going to mature and manifest in our lives in such a way they will bring forth miracles. They cannot not bring forth miracles. God is a God who he just cannot be anything but God. So we are believing God for mighty acts of greatness this year. God is ready to overwhelm us with more blessings than we can ever imagine. We have not seen all that God has prepared for us. God declares this will be a year full of unexpected blessings and miracles. Your eyes will behold prophetic promises and declarations, and you will walk in the fullness of God's plan for your life. Well, he's prepared us for it. Our eyes have been enlightened, and our understanding has become a God's eye view. So now we see things more clear than we've ever seen before. We hear things, and when we hear them differently because God has prepared for us all that he is going to give to us. God has given us full access and the green light to move into our prophetic destiny. He's given us this because we surrendered all We're abiding in Christ, and we understand what the grip of grace does on the life of an individual. God declares a New Year resolution over your life. You don't have to make the resolution. God has already declared the resolution for you, and when he does it, he cannot fail. You have been prophetically marked for victory and blessing because you have been in a place of surrender. You have been a place of learning. Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You are the Friday Fellowship of Learners, and you have bowed before his face and learned of the things that he has for you. You will eat from the king's table continuously and lack nothing. This is not a just one time come and all you can eat. This is a continual feasting and abiding at the king's table. You will move into great realms of power and prosperity, not for yourself, but for the kingdom of God, because now you understand your purpose and your destiny. God is unlocking things for you because now he can trust you. You have shown yourself to be true, and those who are faithful over a few things, he will make you rulers over many that you have not even experienced the height to which he will exalt you, and he will do it through you. Places spiritually and naturally that you've never gone or done before. God says to get ready. This is no longer a resolution, but a revolution. 2019 will be one of the greatest years in your life. One of our archbishops shared that he wants the declaration for that section of our labors for Christ is to God to violently rearrange the temple of his people. And so God has a revolution going on, and he is leading this revolution, and so we know that we are victorious. So my prayer for you is that you have a prosperous, glorious, victorious new year, because that is the promise and the word spoken over our lives. So welcome to Words from the Word, and get ready, because the next offering that we're going to do is not going to be an easy one, but it definitely is going to be a blessed one. It is the school of obedience, and it's something that we oftentimes look for loopholes through when we read scripture, but now we've learned that we don't have to look for loopholes any longer because we're functioning under grace. And because we trust his hand on us, that which he is asking us to do, we are willing to do. But just like the promises of God, we don't always understand the commandments of God, and we don't always understand or know what he has asked us to do. And so we shared last week that what we would like to do today before we launch off into our Andrew Murray book, School of Obedience, a book that you can get online. You can actually secure it at the website, and you can read it from your devices. Excuse me. It's free. I'm going to get the word for it from right now so that you can, I didn't do that right. Bummer.
Okay. I'm not that technical.
The advance. But I think we have Elder Deborah on the line, and she can share with you how you can obtain it. It was very easy, even for me, to just go right to and do. And so, Elder, if you could share that website with us.
Okay. I think I got all of y'all up on the speaker.
Okay. before the lesson is over today, I will definitely make sure that you have it. and so, so that you can start your your reading on it, all of these devices, you know. That, all right. Anyway, so what we had asked you to do was to go down your list of one another's, because that's where we want to start, and to actually look at the scriptures through either the Message or the Voice Bible. The reason for that is because there's oftentimes a lot more insight, a more illustrative picture we get when we look at it through one of those versions of the Bible. So, did anybody do it? Did anybody pick one and look at it through?
What was the question, Minister Paulette?
You were supposed to pick one of the one another scriptures. There's 53 of them. And look at them through, read them in the Message Bible or the Voice Bible, one or the Amplified Bible, one of those Bibles that give us a more descriptive view of Scripture.
Okay, I picked, I mean, I was reading all of them. But
man, amen. Okay.
Pick your favorite, and I wasn't trying to do it, but I do have one, and it is First Corinthians, the 10th verse, and I'm gonna read it from the Message. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends, using the authority of Jesus, our Master. I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. and if I could read it from the Amplified,
mm-hmm.
if it's okay. But I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no dissensions or fractions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and judgment.
Okay, so what do you get from that?
Tell
me the scripture.
Man?
Tell me the scripture again.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
Okay.
Chapter 1.
All right. So, pull out three things that scripture, when you read it in the first version you read it out of, three things that you did not associate with that scripture when you read it out of the more traditional versions.
Urgently, learn. cultivating a life learn to be. And he was very urgent about expressing that to us.
Amen.
His urgent concern. And I think it's still, well, I know it's still relevant. It is, God's word is relevant every day, but what I'm trying to say is it's really relevant in the church today, because there seems to be so much dissension or disunity between the saints of God. And
one of the things you said was near the end. Read your scripture again.
I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friend.
Okay, stop there. A serious concern. So this is not this is not a light matter. Okay.
Right.
And we do take it lightly. And the apostle is sharing, this is serious, because he wants to express God's heart to them so that they understand that this is something that needs to be addressed right away. So if your water tank bursts, you have a serious concern about your water tank, because you got to get it fixed. Now, if your sink leaks, and your sink is leaking, okay, you're concerned about it, but it's not a really serious concern. So you may wait a week or two, a month, or may try to do it yourself or whatever, but it's not a serious concern. But if that water tank bursts, it becomes a serious concern that needs to be addressed immediately, okay, and really professionally. So it's not something that we can figure out. It really is something that we need to go to Holy Spirit so he can guide us into correcting the situation. And so that's how I want us to be able to see it. So read some more.
I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, our Master, I'll put it as urgently as I can.
Now, stop at that. There are some relationships that, in order for this to work, we have to understand. And so, the Apostle Paul was saying, "My friend," so he was coming to them in a friendly state. So it's not something that, here comes the sheriff, knock on the door and get the eviction notice. No, here comes a friend. A friend comes and they sup with you. They share with you. They have fellowship with you. And so he wants them to know, this is the kind of relationship that you have with me. So you have the Apostle Paul, okay, coming to members of some of the churches that has been scattered all over the then known world because of the persecution of the Christians and of the church. And so he was coming to them as a friend. So here's someone coming with something that's good for you. And it's good for you not based on Paul's interpretation, but Paul says, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that should get our attention. Hold on. This is what the preacher is saying, but it's because God said it first and wants me to know about it. And so as a result, automatically the way we receive what's coming next should shift. We should automatically shift from the temporal, from the carnal, from the common, to the divine, and to the empowerment of those things that are heavenly and holy. And we don't always do that. We hear a word and remain in our state of carnality or immaturity or even ignorance because we don't feel, well, you know, I know, I don't, you don't need to tell me. Yeah, that's, you know, okay. You know, just like trying to give you a hand spiritually because they have no intentions of allowing it to settle in their spirit. And so Paul is saying, this is settled in your spirit, is coming from a friend who is aware of what God has said, and he wants you to know this. Okay, so what's the next thing?
I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other.
Okay, right there. I mean, you know what? It is so clear that what God is indicating in order, and that's what the declaration for the year was, we come in this together. No one is going to be left behind. So it is very clear that we have to be in unity. We have to be a life that we are sharing, and we are sharing this life that has this tremendous value to us that we treasure. So he's sharing the fact that this isn't optional. This isn't okay in a minute. No, you must. You must. This is a very strong commandment. You must. And what's the next thing?
You must learn to be considerate of one another.
And so he's sharing in this point. I know you don't have it right now, but just like we're in this Friday Fellowship of Learners, we're learning. And we won't stop our learning. You know, we won't even, and not just the Friday Fellowship, but wherever the teaching is happening in the house that we've been planted in, it's not a hit and miss thing or this Sunday and not next Sunday. It's like you must learn this. To learn, you have to be, you have to show up spiritually as well as physically, and you have to show up with the heart, the desire, and the mindset that is something going on here I need to know in order to fulfill the command that God has for me. And we can't do it without it. It's that grace that we have to embrace that will show us how to show up. It'll show us even or give us that motivation of a need to show up and give us that, enlighten our view of things so we understand the urgency of showing up and coming prepared. Okay, and what's next?
Cultivating a life in common.
That is such a powerful request that we are going to have to embrace. When you cultivate something, you work hard at it. You have to know all of the nuances of it. You can't cultivate something you don't have a complete and full understanding and knowledge of. You have to be willing and open to be make adjustments and to make concessions for things so that we will be, what is it? What does it say now? Cultivate
a life in common.
A life in common. And that in common has so much power in it. That we need to, if nothing else, ask Holy Spirit, show me what in common means fully. It's not a long word, not a hard word, but what does it really mean spiritually? You know, what does it mean no matter who I am with? What do I have in common? I know one of the things of the AEN is the fact that no matter where a person comes from, denomination or race or state or country or whatever, we have one commonality. We have one thing in common that we're going to cultivate. We're going to work at, okay? We're going to work at growing it. And that is the love for God, the love for Jesus Christ, understanding that that is the source of all things for us. And so I just want us to be able to take these scriptures, these one another's. That's a wonderful one. Thank you so much, Elder. Did anybody else do one? Silence on the board. Okay. Well, I did one. Let's see where it's mine. I thought that we would have. Mine comes from Galatians 6 and 2. I should read it out of the regular and then read it out of the message. So this is what it says out of the regular. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now this is what it says out of the message. Out of the message, it says, it says, live creatively, friends. Someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. I said, okay. Now that was verse 1 through 3. Let me go back and read the King James 1 through 3. Because it adds some parts in there.
You want the Amplified?
Okay, let's get Amplified.
Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. And in this way, fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it.
Hallelujah. So can you see how that brings more insight to us, a clearer illustration of what the word is sharing with us? And I love the when the message says, live creatively, friends. So what that's saying is, you got to work at this, okay? Be creative in how you interact with one another. God's given us a creativity. It's just a part of who we are. Be creative. If someone doesn't like this, then do something that way. Or if you find that this is a person that always may be complaining, okay, then when you go, you don't tell them, well, you know, you just need to stop complaining. No, you be creative. Go to them with, wow, you're so blessed. This is so wonderful in your life. That is, be creative, because some things they can't deny. And they'll go, well, yeah, okay. And you can almost take the complaints out of their conversation if you become creative enough. And so it says, so if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them. That's that grace. Remember, okay, how the only way we are not is because of the grace of God, and saving our critical comments. So those critical comments, that's that heart that's judgmental. So we see the beginnings of the workings of all of the heart conditions in obtaining the ministry of one another. It is imperative. We cannot do it without it. We have to come to a place where we are always mindful of where we are, where our actions are indicating or what our actions are indicating is really in our heart. Because what's going to start happening now is because we know when you hear others doing that, you're going to automatically, because that's what Holy Spirit is going to do, is going to remind you, ah, that comes from a judgmental heart. So that's for you not to, to judge them, but rather to pray for them. That's when the grace, the grip of grace comes in. So when you see that your brother is really speaking or acting or reacting out of a certain heart condition and you can identify that, then that gives you your prayer focus. That gives your pray for one another has meaning because, and that's that, what is it? The, that's that ferventness that you will have because there's a specific thing that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. And so it was revealed to you not to complain or to judge or to point a finger or to condemn, but rather to upgird him because that's the scripture says, stoop down and reach out to those. Stoop down and reach to them. Even if it's like, you know, I don't do that. Okay, well then, you know, stoop down. You've been raised up. But remember, if you don't stoop down, you can fall down. And it can be you that will need someone to extend a hand to help you get up. And so that humility is a part of the focus of the one another command. That the Bible has indicated, and some of the Bible scholars, you know, that there's over 53 one another's. In the New Testament, just the New Testament, that love one another, bearing one another, forgiving one another, and their instructions and things that we should do in doing this because we're on behalf of the family of Christ. So now we are family, and we have a family mindset. The scriptural word, the Greek word for one another is really one word, alelom. So it's really not two words. We say one another, but that word originally is one word, alelom. And in that one word, it is used over 100 times in New Testament verses. 47 of these verses give instructions to the followers of Christ, of who we are. And Paul wrote over 60% of them. And so when you look at them, I love this little outline they have. They have one-third of the one another commandments deals with the church getting along. And that's the church in unity. And then one-third of these commands instruct Christians to love one another. So that is love. So we see there's a difference between love and unity, and yet they can't exist without each other. And then 15% of the one another scriptures stresses an attitude of humility and deferring to your brothers and sisters. I remember I shared once when I was very young in the Word, and I had read the scripture that you should give preference to one another, honor to one another. But it said, I'm paraphrasing now, that you should think, you know, more of someone else than you do for yourself. Care more for, you know, other people than you care for yourself. And when I shared it with people, they go, that's not true. It's like, that's what the Bible says. And I didn't know how to defend it or explain it. I just knew that it said it. I wish I could find that scripture. But I think it's probably Romans 12 and 10. Give preferences to one another. Prefer them over you. In other words, you give it up and you let them have it. And it's like, well, no, I don't think you should. Well, these are some of the things of the attitude of humility and deferring to other believers that we are to have. And that's not that flows very freely through the house of God currently. regarding one another as more excellent. It's Philippians 2 and 3.
It's
you regard one
10.
Another.
Your first one, it was Romans 12 and 10. Honor one another above yourselves.
Yes, honor one another above yourselves.
Be devoted to one another.
Yes, and then Philippians 2 and 3 is the one that got me in trouble with other people. It's regard. It did. Regard one another more important than yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's that whole concept of that widow and the prophet. You know, she said, you know, I only have enough flour to make something for me and my son. You know, and he said, make it for me. And she deferred to him. So rather than feed her and her son, she gave it to him. And so that's part of, you know, the thing that really sometimes get hard for people. It's like, I'm going to give you my last, and my children going to suffer, you know, and I'm giving it to a brother? I should give it to my own. No. If in humility we do that, and we know how blessed she was, okay, and that is a concept. We can't do that on our own. We cannot do that without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So this one-third that stresses humility, you know, we need to get it in all the verses that they exist, the versions, and allow Holy Spirit to cement it in our hearts and in our minds so that we can understand the urgency of what our attitude has to be, how we have to change, how we are in a place that has to grow, has to be cultivated in the culture of heaven, in the culture of the kingdom of God. So anybody else?
That's one of our scriptures. That's one of the one another's.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. That's on the list somewhere here. I can't find it, but it's on here because I had highlighted when I was going through them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I had a James 4:11.
Okay.
And it says, do not slander one another. And in the Message Bible, it states, don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. And and what I got out of it, we got to examine our attitude and our action toward others. We don't want to tear people down, but build them up.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's very interesting. Evangelist Narmella, Narmella, because that was another one that I used to get slack on, you know, and then came to understand that there's so much woundedness in the body of Christ till people are treating us the way they want to be treated because they don't know how to be treated good. They're not used to it. They're not familiar with it. They're not accustomed to it. And because it's the only way they've been exposed to, they don't even know a better way for themselves, not for even themselves. And it becomes a point of bearing one another in love. Because one of the things when people talk to us, we need to hear what their heart is saying. Because sometimes their words are ugly and just stupid and, you know, shouldn't be said. But if we listen, Holy Spirit will give us insight as to why they're saying that. And for some people, they don't know anything else. Because of the experiences in life, they're speaking out of woundedness. They're speaking out of pain. They're speaking out of rejection. They're speaking out of a lack of confidence in themselves because they don't understand how completely acceptable they are by God, how complete they are in God, how totally forgiven they are in God. And so for a lot of people, they're not going to want to forgive, so they don't care if you don't forgive them. You know, so it has to come from a heart that has been written on by the love of God, a heart that God has poured his love into and written in it to bring us to a place where we even know what's good for us. You know, because most times we don't. The things we want seem right, but Scripture tells us the way thereof is the path to destruction. It's not destruction, but it certainly leads you down that path that ends up in destruction. And so we want to be at a place in God where we are resting so in peace, in the peace that the Prince of Peace has given us, that when we hear these things and these offenses and become subject to the, you know, unacceptable conversation or behavior of other people, that we can, in a heart of forgiveness, not be offended by it. You know, that's that unoffended part, but rather take it as a opportunity to pray, an opportunity to lift them up, an opportunity to stoop down and give them your hand in spite of our assessment of their behavior. So anyone else?
Did she say James 4:11?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Good stuff. Good stuff.
You know, sometimes we have to grow into a place, and we haven't grown into a place where we can forgive yet.
Yeah.
You have to get that place.
Yeah, you do. Right. And you know what? That's that.
You have to put it on cultivating.
Absolutely. Cultivating a life. You know, that's a life that's under construction, but never stopping there, never being satisfied, but always, you know, reaching out for the more of God and understanding and putting into our life his concept. Making them apart, trying them out. You know, we hear a scripture, we hear, you know, okay, you say forgive, now I got to try that out. You know, so the next person that, you know, step on my feet, you know, I'm going to not have a bad at all. So you exercise your right to choose to always praise and worship God, always honoring another more important than you. Because most times when they step on your feet, it really is an accident. And just like we make accidents, we need people to excuse us and forgive us. This is true also with others. Okay, good stuff. Anybody else?
Well, Minister Paulette, going back to her 4:11, I was reading it in the message, and it excuse me, and it went on to say, and I like this. It went on to say, it says, don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? And it just came to my mind where sometimes, you know, sometimes, he's just going to go back and do the same old thing over again, ain't going to stop, you know, not going to change, don't want to, or whatever, you know, something like that. And, you know, that just came to my mind. And the scripture is saying, who, God is in charge of deciding human destiny. So when we say stuff like that and say, who do you think you are, matter in the destiny of others? So I never thought of it in that manner. You know, when we say stuff like that, we're speaking that over their lives.
Amen. And not only that, I love that other part. You're writing graffiti over the word of God.
Yes.
There's a picture, and you just put graffiti over it. That's a wonderful illustration, you know, that really should pop up when we even begin to. And it's a, I'm going to say it's a natural thing that we do. We really do. And he's just bringing us to a place to understand when you do that, this is what it looks like to me. And so that I love that. I love the way these versions kind of illustrate it in a way that makes it very memorable. Because it's easy to discount it, you know, in the King James. Oh, well, I don't do that. You know, but it's like, this is how it looks. This is how it feels. And so we do others a disservice, because that's also sending warfare to that person. Not sending help, because if you don't send help, you know they're going to do it anyway, or do it again, then we need to be praying that they don't. We need to be sending angels to help, you know, gird them up so they won't slip. We need to be praying on behalf. I mean, that's when we intercede. And so it's so often that that the way we end up, or the way, it's not end up, but the way we look around and we see the lives of others that are not being lived out in a powerful, fruitful way, mainly it's because we didn't do what we were supposed to be doing. You know, or what we did, we didn't do it the way God wanted it done, or we didn't do it as long as God wanted it to be done. Okay, one of the things in the book, and I thank Minister Pat of sharing that with me, the book of Power of a Praying Wife, and they have it in all kind of series, a praying husband, a praying church, praying grandma, you know. But the whole point is that whatever the problem is, it starts with me. And I am the one that needs to be on the altar and receive the healing so that the situations and circumstances around me are going to be then influenced by God and not by me, by the word of God as it's lived out through me, and by the patience of God and the abundant fruit of the Spirit that really is what brought us to God, compassion and long-suffering, his peace and his love and his joy and his kindness and his gentleness. That's what brought us to our place in the family of God, and for us to be able to bid others to come, we can only bid them with the fruit of the Spirit. And in order to do that, sure that the production of that fruit has not stagnated, and then the fruit looks all kind of, you know, undesirable. Okay, you can look at some fruit is so distorted, it's like, ew, you know, it doesn't even look like an orange. It bloomed two sides to it, and it's got a head and everything else. And so that's sometimes the way our fruit looks. And so it doesn't become desirable to those that are in need of feasting off of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Anybody else? Wonderful.
Yeah. Hi, Cynthia here. Minister Cynthia, I want to go back to Galatians 6, the scripture that you gave us, and I want to look at it in the voice version.
Oh, good.
It says, "My spiritual brother and sister, if one of our faithful has fallen into a trap and is snared by sin, don't stand idly and watch his dismay. Gently restore him, careful not to step into your own snare. Shoulder each other's burdens, and then you will live as the law of the anointed teaches us. Now, I was looking at where, at the first part of that, it says, if one of us, if one of the faithful has fallen into a trap and is snared by sin, we generally see when the trap is there. And this is, this goes back to when you said, well, we're not doing our part as far as praying at that point when that person is in that trap, so that you can't, you wouldn't be saying, well, they're just going to do it again, because they trapped before they're snared, according to this scripture.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to share that one.
Amen.
And I like the part where it says, then you will live as the law of the anointed teaches us, which is love.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I, you know, that's why I love it in the other versions, because it brings clarity to what we're doing. It gives a definition that we don't think, you know, about until we read it that way. And so as we see just in that, that one sentence, there's a whole progression, or gives us all the steps to sin. And how at each point before that sin actually manifests, there's points in which we can intervene. Mm-hmm. And then the sin wouldn't have to happen. And so, again, looking and embracing the Word of God, because the next thing, the book that we're going into, the School of Obedience, means you, in order to have the ministry of one another, you have to obey some of the precepts and the concepts and the commandments of the Word of God, of God Almighty. And we don't obey. We obey our way. And I think that's one of the things that may make this book a little daunting at first, because I believe it's going to shine a light on some of the, I know it has on me, and all I did was the prefix, okay? And I was going to back out and pick another book. But you know what? What I'm understanding is that obedience comes, and then love will abound. Obedience and respect first, respect, obedience, and then love abounds. And so I think that it may be two areas that hasn't been stressed enough in our journey so that we can understand how to love. Because before, he says, if you love me, obey me. So before you can love, you got to obey. Okay, and then after you love, you really obey. And but before you even obey, you have to respect what he is saying. And so, and that is so in our relationships with one another, with leadership, and we don't respect and we don't obey, and as a result, there's no real love there, because there's no real love there. There's no drawing others to Christ. Because we he says, if, you know, if you love him, you do what he says. Otherwise, you don't really love him. You know, so what do you believe? I think this is what will challenge, do you really believe what the Word of God says? You know, and we can say, oh, you know, I don't lie, I don't steal. Well, most people do, but I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't kill. Okay, those were the if you will, the big ticket items. Okay, that's not the problem. The problem are those ticket items that not stand tall, but those that run deep and are buried and unseen by the world, that we either hide or are hidden from us, which is why the scriptures say, Lord, you know, deliver me from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. So those things I don't even know in me, don't let them dominate me. You know, shine a light in this. Is definitely going to shine a light, and it's going to be such a glorious light, because it leads to such a powerful place in God, such a perfect presence of God, because he doesn't abide where sin abounds. And when we're disobedient, we're in sin, and we need to see what that looks like, what's been hindering, you know, what has been our stumbling, you know, what is that snare that's there, and he's about to show us what they are as he, as his, as our understanding of obedience is enlightened by Holy Spirit and what he has given the author Andrew Murray to pen in his book, The School of Obedience. So I look forward to it. Get your copies online. I was supposed to have that for you by the end of the show. And that are going to be here. Check your bookstore. Because it's such an old book, it may be out of, you know, they may not have it in your bookstore. I'm sure it's not one of those highly requested books.
What were you saying?
Yeah.
I just went on Google and put in it as a PDF file, and the whole book came up.
Absolutely. Thank you. I know it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple.
Yeah.
The book will come up. Now, there is also, and if you go on PDF, and I know that there's some that are have they're not able to do a lot of the things online, but in there is a, and that's what I was trying to find, it's, and you probably can see it where you are, I think it's CCIE, and if you click there, it will not only download it in PDF, it'll give it to you in Word, and it will read it to you, so you can get it and just click on the that volume thing, and it just starts talking. So, you know, so for those that are visually impaired, that would be a help for you. And so I know that it is on audio, which is what limits our choices of books, because we do want it to be available to everybody. And so there is a variety of ways you can get this particular offering. And so you can go, even if you download PDF, I think that you guys are able to let PDF talk to you. You know, it'll just read it to you. But I do know that CCIE, don't say CCT. I will get it to those in there. But everybody else, yep, just type it in, and it comes up, and you got the book, okay? So we look forward to next week's offering. We thank everybody for joining us this morning on the Word from the Word, the first offering in the year 2019. We have been given the glorious privilege of coming over into a new year, and that privilege has been given to us for a purpose, God's plan and purpose, and we want to be surrendered to it, so that we will lift up our precious Savior and bring a hope to this world, bring a future to those that labor for Christ. And so we thank you, we love you, and enjoy your worship.
Good morning.
And
Overseer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Yes. I am getting better. This has been certainly a journey. I just wanted to say to those that all of them that are on, thank you all. I have actually been receiving your calls, but this is somewhat of a little test. I'm actually holding the phone right now, but I don't do a whole lot of that, because that is really a challenge right now. But you'll be hearing from me. And I want to say thank you. I appreciate all the prayer. I really understand that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I really, really appreciate that. And I appreciate the love that you've been sending me. So all of you, you'll hear from me even more. And Overseer, I will call you after this to understand the instructions and all that. But I just wanted to say thank you all, and I love you all.
each and every one of you. I love you, love you, love you. And God bless
and
you all.
Amen. And we love you. We thank God for the faithfulness of our fellowship and the power that's in the fellowship. There's a lot of power
yes.
in the fellowship because God has
yes.
Has ordained it to be so. And so we are a blessing
yes.
to one another. And just as Evangelist Margaret shared, I know that I myself as well have been a recipient of the powers of your prayers, and I thank God for it. I just worship God and ask his blessings of richness upon your lives. I tried to reach out to everybody on New Year's Day, but I'm realizing some of the phone numbers I have must be landline, and so they don't work. So we want to really let you know how valued you are, how valuable your lives are in the lives of each other and of me and of all of us. But definitely I acknowledge what you have done so faithfully over the years for me, because this isn't a one-season thing, but this is something that God has allowed others to intercede for me in all of the years, and I thank you for that. I thank you for your love and for your faithfulness to God and to me. And we just want to make sure we read the beginning opening of School of Obedience, the prefix, and you can go into the first chapter. We're definitely going to be just getting familiar with his writing and writing style and his, because he gives us some points that he wants us to glean as we read this. And so we're going to look into that on next week. So anything else? All right. So we thank you and we praise the Lord for you and enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. Good day.
Amen.